This morning about 7:30, I got an email from Rob, and he said that he has an attack of kidney stones and is suffering from that this morning. He wouldn't be here. I called Charlie Powell and thought he might be able to give a lesson, and he said he's sick all night and he would not be here today. So I talked to Rory. I said, I'll read the scripture and make a few comments, and then Rory's going to have the invitation song. So if you'll turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll read that passage together and make a few comments this morning. Wayne Nash told me, said, whatever you do, be short. Wayne, I'll try to do that. You time me. Ephesians 1, let's read the first chapter together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intent of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason I too have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, and do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. 2 points I want to make of this passage. First of all, it tells us who God is. God is not a stingy, reluctant, grudging God. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. In this passage and throughout the book of Ephesians, you get a feeling that God is super abundantly blessing us. He is a God, as it says here, full of grace. And the word used here in verse 7, He is the riches of his grace. He gives us this unconditional merit. He lavishes his grace upon us, verse 8. There is immeasurable riches of his grace, chapter 2, verse 7. So God is not only a God of grace, he's God of mercy. Verse 4, chapter 2, says he's rich in his mercy. He's also great in his love, chapter 2, verse 4. His love surpasses knowledge, chapter 3, verse 19. He has tremendous power to work in our lives. Verse 19, there's immeasurable greatness of his power. And he makes that available to us through the raising of Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand, verse 20. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to chapter 3, verse 20. His wisdom is beyond our comprehension, verse 8 of chapter 1. And he makes that manifold to us in multifaced ways in the church, chapter 3, verse 8. So he tells, who is this God? He's a God who is super abundant in blessing us with his grace, with his mercy, with his love, with his power, and his wisdom. Now, how can we duplicate that? Our job is to imitate God in every way possible. So he tells us in this chapter, and also throughout the book of Ephesians, that we have that kind. He says to pray at all times, chapter 6, verse 18. Keep constantly connected with God. Make prayer a habit in our lives. Pray with people on the phone. Pray with people when they have concerns. When they ask you to pray, pray with people. Pray, make that a superabundant way in our lives so that we'll be like God. And when we sing, chapter 5, verses 19, he says, be filled with the Spirit when we sing. He says, do it with enthusiasm. You ought to look around, everybody ought to have their mouths open, praising God with all the voice we have. And then in chapter 6, he says, how do we stand against Satan? He says, we will do that abundantly with God's strength, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Do it every day that we may stand against the schemes of the devil. And then, how do we worship God? He tells us here that we serve because we come together as a body, and we as a church use our talents in an abundant way. In Ephesians 4:11, he says the church is made up of all of us as Christians using our talents together for the glory of God. That's the God we serve. How do we show that? We show it in our worship. We show it in our homes. We're different people in our homes. We see people in our homes. We treat them with unconditional love, with amazing mercy, with astonishing grace, with great forgiveness. That's how God treats us. So we treat people that way. We listen with kindness and empathy to their concerns. That's astounding. People don't understand. How can you have that kind of listening? Because God listens to us when we pray. He makes that available to us. So not only have we been immersed in water, but we've been immersed in the Spirit of God, been transformed. And thus we are a person trying to imitate God abundantly as he has blessed us so abundantly. How do we do that in the workplace? Well, we listen to people with amazing empathy, with eagerness to pray for their physical and emotional problems. So this week, how do we imitate God? We do it the way he says here, with lavishness, with lavish love and grace and forgiveness and mercy as we try to meet people. The second thing in this passage is, who are we? As a result of God treating us that way, who are we? Well, he mentions us several things in this passage. Who are we? He says, we have been chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, verse 4. He had plans for our lives. We don't just live here just for our own purposes. We have a plan. God has a plan for us from the very creation of the world. The second thing he says, that we've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, verse 5. God had already predetermined plan for us from the very beginning to adopt us in his wonderful spiritual family. Third thing, he says that we have received through his riches of his grace the redemption through the blood of Christ, verse 7. So we've been bought back from being slaves of Satan's kingdom, and we've been brought into the precious blood of Jesus Christ who died to set us free. We've been redeemed, we've been set free. And then he goes ahead and says, as Gentiles, we have been pleased and privileged to learn the secret revealed in that mystery, that from the very beginning, God had a plan to bring both Jews and Gentiles together. And then he goes ahead and we've been privileged to have the Holy Spirit as a gift. We've been sealed with that Holy Spirit. We've been delivered from eternal death to eternal life. We've been given that as a down payment of life eternal. We don't have to wait till we die to have eternal life. We have it now as a result of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So who are we as Christians? We, through the grace of God and through the riches of his wonderful mercy, we have been taught the gospel, adopted into God's family, chosen and redeemed in Christ, given the Holy Spirit as a seal and down payment of eternal life. Wow, that's who we are as Christians. This last week, as I was reading through the book of Ephesians, I wrote down my purpose in life in one sentence. My purpose in life is to know, love, and appreciate and imitate God through his word so abundantly that I'll keep in contact constantly with God through prayer so that God's love may flow through me so mightily that it'll produce an obedient faith in Christ so strong that I'll put daily into my life, I will daily put on the full armor of God and will enjoy serving peacefully through God's grace as a compassionate teacher, a healer, an encourager, in order that people might be redeemed, the church might be built up, and God might be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you have your word that tells us who you are, that you are so lavishly blessed us, and we're so grateful for who we are in Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that we can pray to you knowing that you listen to us, that you are the King of the universe, and yet we're so weak and humble and so sinful, but you, through Christ, have forgiven us of our sins and allowed us to have the privilege of prayer. Father, we thank you for that. We ask that you might forgive us as a people, that we might be able to know you better, that we can imitate your love and your grace and your mercy to a greater extent. Father, we pray for Rob today with this kidney stone. We pray that it may pass quickly and that that'll be over soon. We pray for Charlie, who's also sick. We pray for others in this congregation, Father, that need you desperate in their lives. And Father, we just pray this morning as we offer an invitation song and as Rob gives that to us, that there'll be people in this audience who will want to come back to you and serve you with the same kind of generosity of grace and mercy that you've extended to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.